Next item on the agenda is offenders. Mr. Smino.
Commissioner, members of the board, got a few cases before.
First one on the agenda here is Jeffrey Scott West. Is Jeffrey Scott West in the room? Please come forward, sir. Officer West, I'm going to swear you in as well. Gentlemen, please raise your right hands. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Cimino.
Brief introduction here. Mr. Jeffrey Scott West, a commercial fisherman registration licensee, was convicted on June 1st, 2016, for one count of theft of oysters, clams, and shellfish, a Class 1 misdemeanor, and one count of enclosure of a sanctuary area, also a Class 1 misdemeanor. And you'll see here, Mr. West is currently on probation for 2 years from October 27, 2015 through October 26, 2017, owing to a conviction of exceeding the crab bushel limits.
Officer West,
yes, sir.
What can you tell us about this case?
Before we get started, we do have a video that if y'all would like to see it, it is pulled up on the computer. I don't know if you want to wait for
yes, please feel free.
Did you want to wait till after the testimony, or do you like to see it now?
I think I'd like to see it now.
What you're looking at here is the Rappahannock area of 5, which is located on Rappahannock River. Inside that river, there's a small sanctuary inshore, and it's off limits. As you can see, the signs are posted. There were two buoys, two inshore, two offshore, along with the outer ends of the markers. This is a copy. This is a map of the area, which is the sanctuary marked. And these are the signs that you are looking at in the video. That was taken the day after the offense. The offense occurred on October 22nd, 2015, approximately 0600 hours. I was instructed to set up on shore with video equipment, binoculars, which gave me a perfect vantage of this sanctuary. You can see I'm not that far away from the sanctuary. At roughly 0715 hours, Virginia boat registration VA9305BX entered the sanctuary and started working. As you can see, during the video, you'll see the dredge, and the boat that you're going to look at is the one with the polyballs on the stern, is the boat that Mr. West was on. We watched this boat for several hours throughout the day, took hours of video surveillance. This is a shorter disc. There was actually two. Once we felt we had enough evidence, we instructed officers who were standing by. They boarded the vessels. When I was on shore, I was able to identify the captain of the boat, which was a Mr. Anthony Hogg. And I was also able to identify the two crew members that I've dealt with before as Jeffrey West and James West. Mr. Hogg was the captain. Jeffrey West was a crew member. Once we had felt we had enough information, we boarded the boats, let them go back to the creek. We took the oysters and did end up planting them. They were in violation of felonies. We seized the dredge, the GPS, hand scrape was taken, and the oysters were returned to the sanctuary, so we did get them back there. Later on in court, they had pled the, Mr. West had taken a plea deal for the offenses. It came out to unlawfully harvesting oysters with a scrape in an authorized area, which was a charge, which it was pled down. Theft of oysters and clams, which he was convicted of, was a Class 1 misdemeanor. It was a $500 fine with 3 years probation and good behavior, 90 days in jail, all suspended. Closure of a sanctuary, which was also a Class 1 misdemeanor, came out to $300 as a fine. And the oyster dredging or dredging equipment, which was a Class 6, which was reduced in the plea agreement. There were several fines for oyster replenishment fund, restitution, and so forth and so on. But this is actually the video that morning. This is another boat. There were four total. The one that Mr. West was on, you'll see there's the poly ball to the right. Turn it out. You see it? This one right here. As you see, they go out of the sanctuary, and they'll come back in. So they're well within the bumper zone where they're supposed to be. This went on from about 7 o'clock to roughly 12:30. And once we, like I said, we had enough information, we decided to go ahead with the investigation. And go through.
Other question? Let me get it on the record here. There was a plea deal. Mr. West accepted a plea deal here that resulted in a conviction.
Yes, he did.
Do you have the date of conviction?
The date was adjudicated?
Yes.
I got the plea agreement. I can tell you. It would have been the 18th day of May 2016. Or 16th. I can't tell what the writing is. I believe it's when it was adjudicated.
18th.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Other questions of the officer from the committee? From the commission. Mr. Ballard.
Can you explain again exactly what we're looking at? Is the sanctuary towards us?
What you're seeing right now, see that boat that just crossed in front of the marker? Mm-hmm. He is well inside the sanctuary now.
Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. When he came inside of it. Okay. There's a pole over here that would be out, you know, upriver and one downriver. Then you have the two inshore, offshore buoys, which made like a diamond configuration. Mm-hmm. All right, that morning at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock when they started, they came straight to the sanctuary. Waited to begin work, and then they enter the sanctuary over and over again. They go off and come back in, and go off and come back in. But there's the buoy. And you'll see, watch this boat comes inside it, watch it disappear. Well inside of it. And there's the Mr. West's boat, the vessel he's on with the poly balls on the back. They're actually following each other here. See this dredge in the water in the sanctuary. Another boat, of course.
Mr. France, would you pass the documentation up this way, please? Thank you. Officer West, would you please come back to the microphone?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Tankard.
So you've got multiple boats inside the sanctuary one time?
Yes, sir. There was a total of four.
Okay. All right. So that's why it's not just the green
right.
boat.
Right. It was all going on at one time. Like I said, there was a lot of violations that day. And we tried to get every boat that we could. I believe we got everyone that was in the sanctuary that day.
Are there any other questions of Officer West? Mr. Ballard's hand went up first.
Sorry. And that's an approved area that they could legally be harvesting on the other side?
Area 5 was the approved area. The sanctuary, of course, was not the approved area.
Right.
It was inshore. So, yes, they had a whole area. If you look on the map, you see how large it is. And is there one little sanctuary just inshore where the Fuchsia Dot is at?
Okay.
Is where they exactly went to as soon as the day began.
Mr. Erskine?
It's not a mistake, I would believe.
Right.
Mr. Erskine?
I heard and read in some of the testimony that Mr. West was not the captain of the boat.
He was not.
Okay.
He was a crew member.
He was a crew member.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions of the officer? Thank you, Officer West. Mr. West, what would you like the commission to know? What would you like to tell the commission?
I got the captain of the boat, the witness, to talk for me. And
okay. We can do that since he was the captain of the vessel. That would be Mr. Hogg.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hogg?
Can I say something?
Mr. Zedrin?
We received a letter from an attorney named Mark.
Oh, that's a different case.
Is this guy's name Robert Norris Hogg?
No, this is Anthony Dale Hogg.
Okay.
Mr. Hogg, you're going to testify, correct?
Yes, sir.
Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Anthony Dale Hogg.
You're going to testify on behalf of Mr. West.
Right.
Please proceed.
We went in there. Jeffrey, he kept on telling him. He said, Anthony, get out, get out, get out. And I didn't pay no mind to him because I needed the money. And there was some archers in there, too, so I went on. He said, Bubba, I can't get in no trouble. Get out of here. Well, I didn't pay no mind to him. But he was going to jump overboard. That's what he was going to do. But I said, man, don't jump over. he said, dude, get out. He kept on telling me, get out, but I was hard-headed, needed the money. And like I said, he didn't need the money at the time. So it's all my fault, every crumb of it. I'll take it all. Y'all can have my license, furthermore, as far as I care. But like I say, this man didn't have, he was on my boat. I own the boat. I own everything on there. How can you tell somebody what to do with y'all's, with your own boat? I mean, you know, he's telling me, get out, get out, get out. You know what I mean? And I stayed right there. He was going to jump, like I said, he was going to jump over, swim to the shore, but it was cold. That's how scared he was. He was scared to death. So I just stayed right there, kept on working.
Questions to the commission? Mr. West, is there anything you'd like to add?
I mean, it wasn't my fault. I mean, my head was down most of the time, culling. I pulled the tow rope and all that, you know. It wasn't my fault.
And like I said, I'm here to take full responsibility for all of it. He didn't have nothing to do with it. It's my fault. He just pulled the tow rope, cut off just for me. That's all.
Ms. West, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You're out there for 4, 5, 6 hours. Is that correct? And
I guess, but the way he said it, it didn't went down like that. When what really happened, they sent two officers on side of us, and he took our information down, and we only had 21 bushel of oysters, and he told us to go back to work. That's how it really went down. This happened 3 hours later. He called us on the phone to come back to Lockley's Creek. We was almost home with the oysters.
Mr. West, were you in the boat that was within the sanctuary harvesting oysters from the sanctuary?
Yeah, if we were in the sanctuary.
So you were in the sanctuary?
I can't say we were because I had my head down most of the time.
Well, why did you plead guilty?
I hadn't had no other choice.
Why is that?
Because I don't. I never had the money to fight it, and I had no other choice. Everybody else took the plea agreement. I had to do.
So your testimony is now in contradiction to Mr. Hoggs' testimony, is that you didn't know you were in the sanctuary. Is that what you're saying?
I'm telling you that my head was down most of the time, which it is. 95% of the time, I'm up in the bow pulling tow rope and culling oysters.
Did you know you were in the sanctuary?
I knew we were close sometimes.
Did you ask the captain to leave the sanctuary because you couldn't get in trouble?
Yes, sir.
Then you would have known that you were in the sanctuary. Yes?
Yeah.
Well, inside of that marker right there, that bikini thing.
We were told that buoy was moved 130 some feet out.
It was verified the next day.
Mr. Erskine.
Mr. West, how long have you worked with Mr. Hogg?
I worked with him before, like 2 or 3 years ago. I bought my own stuff. I was, last couple of years, I've been by myself. And last year, you know, my boat had got a hole came into it. I had to go back with it.
So you had worked with Mr. Hogg in the past?
Yeah, about 3, 4 years ago.
Fishing.
And had a problem with him at that point in time as far as following the law, or did not have a problem in the past?
No. He both falls on hard times. He got to do what he got to do.
Thank you.
Mr. West, let me double back and ask again. You knew you were in the sanctuary. Did you express concern about this? Did you tell the captain to leave? Did you say you wanted to get off the boat?
Yeah, I like you said, I think it was 2 days before that I had to come see y'all that Tuesday, and I couldn't get in no more trouble. This is all I do. You know.
Did you want to get off that boat?
Yes, sir.
Why didn't you get on one of the other boats that was in 20 or 30 yards?
It's not that easy.
Nobody would have stopped for you.
No, it's not that easy.
Half of what's around you ain't no kind. The boat comes out of it.
Okay. Other questions from the commission? Mr. Smina. What's the staff recommendation here?
this is a violation that's in the matrix that was brought before the commission. As it is a resource violation since it's harvesting oysters from a sanctuary. I'll read the recommendation. The commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters or clams from a sanctuary within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. West's commission-issued licenses for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, September 27, 2016, through September 26, 2017. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. West's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. West's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, September 27, 2016, through September 26, 2017. Staff also recommends the commission place Mr. West on probation for a period of 2 years immediately following the revocation period, from September 27, 2017, through September 26, 2019. Any failure on Mr. West's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the two-year probation would result in Mr. West appearing before the commission for another hearing on license revocations.
Mr. West, you heard the staff recommendation. That's to revoke your licenses and your tidal fishing privileges for a year followed by 2 years of probation. What's your reaction? What do you want the commission to know about that?
This is all I do, and this is all I've been doing this since I was 14 years old, right out of school, late in sixth grade. I can't help if he went in there, and because I was a mate on his boat, I shouldn't have my license. You know, I got a five-year-old son I got to take care of. Put yourself in my shoes right now. I'm a single dad, and I got a five-year-old son to take care of.
Mr. West, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
So, you had some crabbing violations. You were over the daily bushel limit. You had a couple other crabbing violations in 2015. There was three of them. So, you knew, because you were convicted for the crab violations, you were actually at that point had been issued a summons to appear before the commission in October 2015, knowing that you were coming before the commission on that. You were out there in the oyster sanctuary 5 days before appearing here before this commission to answer to the other charges. Is that correct?
Yeah, but I didn't know we were going to work sanctuary that day.
Okay.
I got a question, Mom.
Mr. Zedra.
Your last comment, you said you didn't know you were going to work the sanctuary that day. Well, how many days do you guys plan on working the sanctuary at any given time?
Yeah, but you took it the wrong way.
Well, explain how I took it the wrong way when you said that I didn't know we were going to work the sanctuary that day.
I mean, I didn't mean it like that. We don't work the sanctuary all the time like that.
You work it sometime, huh?
No, that day, I guess we did.
Can I say something?
One last tidbit, Mr. Hogg.
Y'all going to take his license. Why don't y'all just take mine for good and let this man keep on working? I'll give y'all mine for good because I don't have to do this no more. Y'all take them for good.
I don't care
if y'all take them. Y'all can have everything. Y'all can have the boat, too, if y'all want it. She's brand new.
Mr. Hogg, your case will come before the commission in due time.
No problem. I guarantee you.
Matters before the commission. What's the will of the commission?
A comment.
Mr. Zedra.
You know, I'm big on us, you know, sending the message out there that the people got to do what the law says. And what I heard here was, you know, I'm on probation 5 days before this event, and hard times, and you got to do what you got to do. Well, you know, that means a lot of things to me. That means that, you know, this time it's a fishing violation, next time it may be something else, or whatever has got to be done so that he can put money in his pocket. And I think that we're sending the wrong message. And the other message that I gleaned from this is the fact that we put him on probation and gave him an opportunity. That meant nothing to him. That meant absolutely nothing to him.
I won't on probation when this happens.
He's correct there, Mr. Zedra.
Okay.
Probation was issued by this board 5 days later, but he had been noticed to appear before the commission knew it was coming.
Okay.
In right. Credit violations, like over the limit and stuff, I read your book wrong. I went out after I got convicted of that, spent $7,000 to get a license so I could get one, and I got the branding irons, the branding buoys, all that. I tried to use it.
Okay. I stand corrected.
I'll let the record reflect here that 2015 was not a good year for you, Mr. West, and your encounters with the criminal justice system and the Marine Police. So there was a conviction in January of 2015, possession of uncalled oysters. April of 2015, no identification number on crab pots, at least seven of the crab pots. May of 2015, only a few weeks later, possession over the limit of crab pots your daily possession limit of crabs, and then there was this issue coming up a couple months after that. So,
yes, sir, but like I said, I went out and fixed everything, you know. I mean, y'all look at it like it's a crime. I mean, it is a crime, but I went at the time everything happened, I went out and fixed everything. So I would be legal. I spent $7,000 on the license so I could be legal.
Commission operates on motions.
Well, I've got 8 convictions since 2013.
I mean, don't that mean anything? If I got convicted of it, I went out and fixed it and, you know, made it right. That should mean something. Yeah, it should mean that I try to do everything I do to go to be right.
Mr. Packard.
Yeah, I'm the video, I guess I never really imagined poaching oysters on sanctuary really look like that. I commend you for taking that video. It sort of helps you to understand. I mean, it's surprising how it's an over and over and over again thing, and how close the boats are, how close the shore is. It kind of caught you red-handed, Mr. West. I don't know what else we can do to try to help you. I think the 1 year revocation and 2 years probation is about as generous as we can be. So that's what I move for. Move for staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Tankard. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Is there a discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
No by Mr. France. The chair votes aye as well here, so the motion passes 8-1. Mr. West, just heard the commission's decision was to revoke your licenses and your tidal fishing privileges for 1 year effective today, followed by 2 years of probation. If you go with the officer by the pillar there, he'll give you a letter that explains to you your appeal rights.
I've got the crab pots. We need to get them up.
All licenses.
We've got 900 over. What do we got to do?
Please go with the officer and discuss the matter with him here to get your crab pots out of the water. Mr. Hogg, did you just say you had 900 crab pots overboard?
900.
You know that's well above the limit? Wow.
All the seas on, too.
When's Mr. Hogg coming for us?
Next meeting.
He's the one who's in PRFC.
I thought you'd see him again. I told somebody you'd see him again. Mr. Cimino.
Commissioner, the letter that Mr. Zijan mentioned, I don't have the letter, so
yes.
I didn't know if you wanted.
I have the letter here. Is Mr. Robert Hogg in the room? Mr. Hogg, please come forward here. I understand that you have an attorney.
Yes, sir. He couldn't make it today, and we're asking for a continuance.
I received a letter via fax yesterday at 2:23 in the afternoon, stating that Mr. Hogg has an attorney who has asked for a continuance of this matter to the next meeting. And I told your attorney here that once this matter is on the agenda, it's up to the commission whether or not to hear the case anyhow. So you're formally asking this to be continued until the next meeting here so you can have your attorney present?
Yes, sir.
What would the commission like to do? Mr. Zedrin.
I move to grant the attorney and this gentleman a continuance. It's the first time up. He's here, and I think that's an appropriate request, so I'd move to have it continued to the next meeting.
Second
by Mr. Miner. Any discussion on that? Mr. Tankard?
Well, I mean, he's been, how long has he known he's going to be on this agenda?
Well, the summons was served on him several weeks ago.
September the 8th.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
September the 8th. Either on vacation or we couldn't get in touch when we finally did. I gave him the paperwork. He was researching and he said he couldn't be here because he already had prior cases.
All right.
There's a motion and a second to continue this case until the next meeting, which will be November 1st. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Here, we'll continue this case, Mr. Hogg. Please be here the November 1st meeting.
November
1st, bring your attorney.
Thank you.
We do expect to see your attorney. Great. Mr. James Tyrell. Mr. Tyrell, are you in the room? Mr. James Tyrell. Officer, was Mr. Tyrell here summoned to appear here at this commission meeting? Apparently he's not here. Commission, do you want to hear the case in his absence or continue this?
I'd move to go ahead and hear it.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Here we will hear the case, Mr. James Tyrell.
Mr. Commissioner.
Mr. France?
Yes, I do know the parties involved in this, so maybe I should recuse myself from this part of it.
That sounds like a prudent procedure here. If you will adjourn yourself to the library here, we'll summon you. Well, we'll let you know. Mr. Cimino. Mr. Zedrin.
No.
She was asked who seconded. He seconded.
Second was Mr. Zedrin.
Okay.
Mr. Smith.
Mr. James R. Tyrell, commercial fisherman registration licensee, was convicted on April 12, 2016, for one count of failure to remove gill net within 24 hours after receiving verbal warning of the violation, for one count of failure to pay license fee and obtain gill net license for 2016, for one count of failure to pay license fee and obtain fish pot license for 2016. And on February 9, 2016, for one count of no license or tag on gillnet.
Officer, let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got? Please step forward here and tell us what we need to know about this case.
On December 13, 2015, approximately 10:45 hours, I was on patrol in Nominai Creek at the entrance to Carrie-Elman Bay. I observed several gill nets in the area. There was one gill net that had green flags on it. It was not displaying a valid gill net tag, and the flags did not have any information at all on them. There were several other gill nets in the area that had licenses on them. When I run the license, they came back to Mr. James Tyrell, which had a BMRC ID number as 9336. I went to 625 Lone Walnut Road. I spoke with Mr. Tyrell. I was in uniform displaying my badge of authority. He stated that the net with the green flags did belong to him. I issued Mr. Tyrell a summons for violation of Section Code 28.2-234, subsection 2, for no license tag on the gill net for it not being displayed. I also gave Mr. Tyrell warnings for the other marking violations on the other gill nets in the area. As far as violations 2 and 3, on February the 1st, 2016, at approximately 1,200 hours, I was following up on information that was supplied to me in reference to possibility of crab pots that were in Nominite Creek. I went to the location that was given and found several fish pots displaying number FP9336. I run the commercial number, came back to Mr. James Tyrell, and I was told that Mr. Tyrell had not obtained his fish pot gear license for the year 2016. At that point, I seized seven fish pots. Also, wine area, I found a gill net displaying tag number 16084. That also came back to Mr. James Tyrell. I confirmed that the net was still attached to the flags. I checked to see if Mr. Tyrell had his gill net license for 2016. He did not. For safety reasons, at that time, I was the only person on the boat. I did not seize and or remove the gill net from that area. Again, I went to 625 Lone Walnut Road, spoke to Mr. James Tyrell's mother and grandmother, and was told that Mr. Tyrell was in Maryland. I gave the ladies my contact information, and I left the house. At approximately 1,500 hours, I received a cell phone call from a person identifying himself as Mr. James Tyrell. I identified myself and informed Mr. Tyrell of the violations, and I was giving him 24 hours to remove the gill net. On February the 3rd, at approximately 8 p.m., I presented probable cause to Magistrate Barrett, obtained summonses for violations 4VAC 20-1090, failure to pay license fees, and obtained gill net license for year 2016, and also for violation 4VAC 20-1090, failed to pay license fee and obtained fish pot license for the year 2016. On February the 5th, 2016, while I was going to the Heatsville area office for area meeting, I checked to see if the gill net had been removed from Nominee Creek. I was able to verify this from land with the aid of binoculars, and I could clearly see that the net was still attached to the buoy markers, and the net had not been removed. After the area meeting, I went to King George County. I met with the magistrate Eastwick, presented probable cause, obtained a summons for 4VAC 20-550-20, failed to remove the gill net within 24 hours after receiving a verbal warning from a Marine police officer. I again spoke with Mr. Tyrell, made arrangements to meet with him on February the 7th for papal service. On the February the 7th, 2016, I met with Mr. Tyrell. I served him all the summonses which I have obtained. Mr. Tyrell said that he had to depend on others to drive him where he needed to go due to the fact that his driver's license was suspended in the state of Virginia and that he was not able to get back to Virginia. The gill net was also immediately removed from Nominee Creek. On April 12, 2016, all of the cases were adjudicated in Westmoreland County General District Court by a prepayment of each of the violations.
Any questions about Mr. Wilkins?
Yes.
Mr. Tankard?
What do you think Mr. Tyrell was fishing for?
It appeared that he had left the pots in the creek. They had been there for some time. That's an area that I do not actively patrol. I can say that when I did pull the fish pot, there were fish in those pots. There were also some small crabs that had not made it through the season. There was also one duck that was in a pot that we found. The gill net was kind of depleted, but it did have fish into it as well. But again, I think that he had fished it for a while.
Mrs. Kellum.
Has Mr. Tyrell now purchased these licenses? Do we know?
As far as I know, he has purchased his commercial fisherman's card, but he has not purchased any types of gear license at this time.
That's right. Yeah. What you have in your packet is we looked at as of August 30th.
You only have the commercial. So, Officer Wilkins, just to summarize, if I got the summary correct in my head, he was convicted on 4 different convictions here for various gill net offenses here over the span of 6 weeks, and that included setting a gill net, leaving the state, going to Maryland here, not having a ride back, leaving the gill net out there fishing without being tended, and then was warned to remove it, and he still didn't.
That is correct, sir.
That's the summary. Well, I'd love to hear from Mr. Tyrell here on what the heck happened and what he was thinking, but he's not here, so... Mr. Cimino, what's the staff recommendation?
Yes, sir. And you can see on the slide here, staff recommendation is pulled from the matrix. Again, this particular case violations do fall within something that was ranked, and the suggestion or guidelines were provided. I'll read staff recommendation into the record. Commission guidelines for sanctions specify that two commercial gear convictions within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year probation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. Tyrell on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, September 27, 2016 through September 26, 2017. Any failure on Mr. Tyrell's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Tyrell appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
You've heard the staff recommendation, you've heard the testimony. What's the will of the commission? Mr. Ballard.
It looked like the guidelines were based on two convictions in a 1 year period. I believe we're looking at four here. I'd be more inclined to go with a 2 year probation given the severity of these instances. So I would move for a 2 year probation.
Second.
By motion by Mr. Ballard, second by Mrs. Kellum for a 2 year probationary period in this case. Any discussion? I'll make a note, which I guess kind of acts as a bit of a discussion here. It seems to be a cavalier wanton disregard Mr. Tyrell showed for the resource here to set the nets and disappear into another state, and still, when warned, didn't take them up. So I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes 8-0 to put Mr. Tyrell on probation for 2 years, effective today. Lori, will you please tell Mr. France here that we're moving on to the next case, which is Mr. Frank J. West. Is Mr. Frank J. West in the room? Please come forward, sir. West, officer, will you please raise your right hand? Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you, Mr. West. Mr. Cimino.
Yes, sir, just very briefly. Mr. West, a commercial fisherman registration licensee, was convicted on July 25th, 2016, for four counts of having an illegal net inside the boundary of the reef, one count of obstruction.
Officer, what can you tell us about this case?
Virginia Patrol underway 25CRF on June 1st, 2016. I observed a dead rise engaged in pulling up a gill net that appeared to be in the boundaries of the Pocosin Reef. I moved closer and determined that the Arlene Gale, captained by Mr. Frank West, standing to my left, was inside the reef pulling a gill net. I have a map of each of those points and a picture each object that was inside of the reef, along with a chart plotter photograph that was taken preceding that immediately. Mr. West advised that all the nets in the area were his. There were four gill nets, all licensed Mr. West, located inside the boundaries of the reef. One gill net was licensed Mr. West, was located in the Coastal Entrance Channel that is adjacent to the reef. I obtained magistrate's summons use and served those later. He was convicted on July 25th, 2016, in York County on all five charges, the four illegal net inside the boundary of the reef, before the AC code, which you should have in front of you, and also obstructing state waters, which is 62.1-194.1. Again, I do have photos. I don't know how you'd like me to present them, or if you'd like to.
I don't think it's necessary at this point here. Was this matter taken to court?
This was.
What happened in court?
He was convicted on all counts. He had a $150 fine on each charge for the each net side of the reef, and a $100 fine for the net channel.
What was the date of
conviction? July 25th, 2016.
Okay. Mr. West.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, I thought I was far enough under reef. Nobody won't exactly tell me how far I got to go. I still don't know. Nobody ain't told me yet. I don't know. Some people say it's 500 feet. Some say it's 500 yards, but none of the officers know.
I bet you some of them do.
I've been doing this all my life. This is the first time I've got a ticket for something like that.
If I may, the
yeah, please.
The reefs are designated by lat long. They're on chart plotters. He did indicate on that day that his chart plotter card had been stolen.
Yes.
He did not have a functioning chart plotter. That also was noted.
Yeah, when I went to the railway, somebody took one of my chart plotters and took the chip at the other one. Yeah, and that all that was reported earlier this year. I usually fish in the Oak River, so I don't have no problem down there. Somebody stole a 1,200-foot gill net long to me back there, middle of April. It was about $2,000 I lost. That's why I was down that way, trying to keep away from them.
Please bring that forward. That is helpful.
The map, it's a box, basically.
Yep.
So there's no particular set distance, because I can't tell you if the lat long measurement.
That's the suit. Then it needs to come back up.
So that purple box is going to be the actual reef. It's marked by corners. It's also specified and described
in the regulation. Yes.
The lat longs that are put on that are each item. There's a gill net, GN stands for gill net, and then the tag number or the license number, and then the ball. It may be designated ball on there as well. I did verify that there were nets attached to each of those.
Okay. Mr. West?
Yeah, when I went down there, I wasn't trying to break any law. Because I saw him coming, and I run one net for him coming there. I thought I was all right. So, he said I was in the boundaries. He had nothing there to show me. You know exactly where. Like I say, somebody took my chip and stuff at the computer. I still haven't got it. Because last year I had trouble bought by surgery. I've been having financial trouble. So I just ain't got on my feet yet.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine. First. Mr. Erskine.
Was Mr. West cooperative with you?
He was.
Thank you.
Mr.
Question for both of them. I see this diamond here, but is there anything that's visible from the water where that is?
Yes, there's not. Each point is not marked. In the middle of it, there is a yellow VMRC marker that's marked. I believe it's here. Do you have a picture of the marker?
No, I don't have it.
Grab that picture.
It's one little white buoy.
Yellow buoys.
Oh, yeah, it's a little cream color, yellow, white, whichever you want to call it.
Yeah. It's a picture of the buoy with this boat in the background. I'm verifying the location. The point that's actually marked in the middle of that is actually the actual lat long of the actual buoy at this place there.
All right, I got a question for Mr. West. Did you see that buoy?
Oh, yeah, I know the buoy's at, but I thought I was far enough away from it. See, once you leave it, there's no more markers to show you how far to go. Mm-hmm. And I was just going by word of mouth. Everybody say 500 feet. So
did you have
500 feet on the water is really nowhere.
Did you have a radio on board?
My radar ain't working.
No, radio. Radio.
Oh, yeah, I got a reel.
No, radio. A radio, marine radio.
Oh, yeah, I got a radio.
Did you try to call somebody to verify what distance you needed?
No, I didn't call nobody, but I've asked all the officers. I even asked Mr. Rose earlier. He don't even know yet.
Okay,
he's going to try to look it up by me.
All right, let me ask you this. Suppose it was 500 feet. How would you measure it if you didn't have any instruments to show how far you were from it?
Well, you got to take a guess. All I know what to do. When I go back again, if I go back, I'll have something to measure it with. All I got to do is get that chip back, somebody took.
How far is the requirement to stay away from the actual artificial reef?
There's no requirement specified in code section. That's the point. That's why I can't give him an answer, because it's specified as lat longs. You can't be inside.
You just can't be inside the box.
In 755, there's no buffer zone listed. The gear can't be placed within.
And that's been a long-standing regulation. That decades is my understanding. Mr. West, I do have a kind of a question here that kind of goes to your favor, depending on how you answer it. Can you give us any assurances that this will never happen again?
Oh, yeah, I will. I'll give you the assurance. That won't happen again.
How are you going to make sure it never happens again?
I'm going to put my chip in my GPS. I'm going to make sure I'm at least a half a mile away from it or better. Then I know I'll be good.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Cimino?
Yes.
What's the staff recommendation in this case?
Similar to the last case, the commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that two commercial gear convictions within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year probation. And in accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. West on probation for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, September 27, 2016, through September 26, 2017. Any failure on Mr. West's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the one-year probation would result in Mr. West appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Mr. Hall.
Just one point of clarification here. The very last conviction that's listed in your packet on page 2 is for a violation of Title 62.1-194.1, which is obstructing state waters. That's a safety law. So that can only be considered when you're determining the length of the sanction to impose, not the actual decision about whether to impose a sanction or not. So, sorry.
Thank you, sir.
So that's the blocking the channel, not a fisheries violation, is what basically.
Okay. Right.
Is there a discussion? Mr. Erskine, do you have something to discuss?
I was going to make a motion,
Let me say one thing here. I mean, these are four violations. They're on the same day. They're the same thing. I mean, I'm kind of more inclined to think of them as a couple violations as opposed to four instead of a year of probation. I could live with 6 months of probation. I note that Mr. West has not been in any sort of trouble with convictions here for at least the last 6 years. So, I mean, that's something. Mr. Ballard.
I agree with that sentiment and would just note that compared to the last case, we've got strong testimony that's not conflicting and contradicting itself. And I feel confident that we're not going to see Mr. West here again. So I would move for 6 months probation.
Second.
So motion by Mr. Ballard for 6 months probation in this case here, second by Mr. Miner. Is there discussion on that?
I just would like to thank the officer. That is my home reef, and that is my home channel. And so I appreciate you policing those waters.
Was not called in.
I appreciate that.
Nice work, officer. Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. So, Mr. West, just sum it up here. You're on probation for 6 months. Don't break any laws. Make sure everything is by the book, dot the I's, cross the T's. We really honestly don't want to see you back here.
Oh, you won't.
Very good.
I want to do all 1 month of reports on the first every month.
That's all we ask. Make sure you don't run into a problem with a violation and file your harvest reports and everything's good.
Stay away from that down there for a while.
Thank you, Mr. West.
I'll be far enough that I won't even be able to see the wood.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. West.
Thank